Welcome to Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Heimbuch. And if you are a visual storyteller with a love for all things wild, then you're in the right place. From conservation to creativity, from business to marketing, and everything in between, this podcast is for you, the conservation visual storyteller who is ready to make an impact. Let's dive in. Welcome to this episode of Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. And Joe, I'm so excited that you're back for another episode.
I'm so excited to be here, as always. I just love coming and doing this stuff.
Well, good, because we have an episode topic that I think you are going to have opinions about, and I love hearing your opinions. So
I have opinions about everything. You
know that. Well, we're talking today about, is conservation photography right for you? So if you're someone who's thinking, you know, I'm interested in this conservation photography thing, but is it really what I want to do? We're going to dive into like, well, what are some of the ways that you could know if it's a fit for you or not?
Ooh, okay. This is interesting. All right, I'm ready.
I think that it'll be interesting as an episode because I'll probably be like, everybody needs to be a conservation photographer because why wouldn't you be? It's so amazing and fun. And you'll be like, well, let's bring it back to center. Let's think about some personality types and how that comes into play. So it's going to be a really fun conversation.
We're ready to go.
Okay. So there are at least five different sort of preferences or ways of looking at the world that I think is a telltale sign that you might be great for conservation photography, or rather, conservation photography may be a very fulfilling field for you as a photographer, whether you're a hobbyist, whether this is something that you want to think about as maybe part of your career as a photographer. And one of those things that, and this is really near and dear to me because this is how I got into conservation photography, is making images is really fun. But I'm not okay with just piling up a whole bunch of images on a hard drive or sharing them on social. Like, I want them to do something. I want them to have a purpose. And so if you're a photographer who's thinking, I really enjoy making images, but what do I do with them that matters, that makes an impact, that makes a difference? Conservation photography is probably a great fit for you because it's all about what you do with your images to create awareness, to create understanding, to create action around issues that affect nature and the environment and communities and people around you.
So basically, that's sort of the root of conservation photography, is that you're taking it to make change. You're doing it to make change.
You're creating imagery that is intended to do something more than just look pretty on a wall. And I mean, sometimes looking pretty on the wall is the first step in doing something because it then creates conversation. Maybe it's about a gallery exhibit that has really informative captions that get people talking. Conservation photography can look like all different things, but really at the heart of it is, let's have these images created and then put them to work to actually make a difference for what's being shown in these images.
It's just like on the tip of my tongue. You mean make an impact?
Making an impact. I know the word impact is so overused to the point of being cliche in, you know, conservation fields. But yeah, exactly. Impact. Yeah. Impact. Yeah. Impact.
Well, we gotta have impact. The cliche got there because it was a useful word.
So. It's the perfect word. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you are someone who's a nature photographer and you're thinking, man, I am making all kinds of images and it's really fun, and now I've got thousands of images on my hard drive and I just kind of feel like that's not enough just to take the photo. Like, why? What can I do to make them matter? What can I do to bring people into conversation? What can I do with these that actually makes an impact? Conservation photography is a perfect outlet because then you get to say, okay, well, I'm going to do a gallery exhibit that will bring a topic to light in my community, or I'm going to create a photo story that will get into publications and in front of readers that will educate them about an issue, or I'm going to take my photos and put them into a presentation that I give at different camera clubs or different organizations that I'm with and really educate people about something that's going on or even how interesting a species is. And that's where you can start to say, okay, I've got the images, I'm going to put them to work and actually like get people involved in something that can make an impact for the environment.
Okay, cool. All right, got it. So it's fun, but not enough.
It's not enough to just have it be fun.
It's not enough to have fun.
So that's one way that you know if, okay, this conservation photography thing, that might be right up my alley. A second thing that I hear pop up a lot from folks who kind of enter my sphere, whether they become podcast listeners and then reach out to me on email, or maybe they enroll in Conservation Photography 101 and I didn't know them very well before. And so they let me know why they enrolled. A common thing that I hear is, especially from those who are using photography as a second career or they're retired now and getting really into photography, is I want to leave a legacy. I want to have used my photography in a way that leaves a mark or makes an impact or leaves a legacy in some way so that I know that with my photography, I'm going to leave the world hopefully a little better than it was when I was here. Or, you know, yeah. It kind of sounds like impending doom, but we all do.
No. You want to be able to have your memory go on.
Yeah.
The memory of you go on in some way. And that idea that you can, like, for instance, there's a woman that I used to work with, and she was just this amazing woman, and she left us way too soon from cancer, but she worked in a conservation area here on our coastal live oak area. And she's just someone who left her mark. And so, you know, people will always remember Rose, and that is just a great thing. And so if you can do that with your photography, why not? You
know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of ways that you could make that mark or leave that legacy with a conservation cause. But one really great example of someone who is actively doing this now, that his legacy will live on for, I'm sure, centuries, is Joel Sartori and his project Photo Arc. So he has been for years and years on this mission to photograph endangered species before they disappear. And he does that in zoo settings. So all of his imagery is done with a black background, typically a black background. I think maybe sometimes it's a white one, but you know Photo Arc shots.
Right.
Because they are a very studio style image of a really incredible endangered species, typically an all black background.
Yeah.
And he really wanted to be able to make sure that these species that may not be here very soon, that they have a memory. Like, we will be able to see that they were here, that they existed, they matter. And so Photo Arc, I think, is a great example of leaving a legacy. When Joel leaves this world, and hopefully it won't be for a very, very long time, that legacy will still be here and yeah. It will really matter.
That's a great way of thinking about, especially when you're retiring or getting close to retirement, or mm-hmm. you know, you've always had something churning in the back of your heart or your brain, and now you'll have more time available to devote to something like that. That's a perfect time to think about it from that standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one student, he's in his early 70s, and this is where he's coming from, is I want to leave a legacy when I go. You know, I'm on the latter half of my life. There's right. only so much time left. And he is so busy, like incredibly busy, staying out there photographing the issues that matter to him. And he's kind of in the Rocky Mountain range, and just making sure that as he uses his photography as something that he simply enjoys doing, he's focusing on issues that really matter in his area because he wants to leave that legacy. And I feel like when we've talked, he's mentioned his age quite a bit, but I'm like, you say that you're this older person, but you feel like you're in your late 30s to
right.
me, like just with this energy and this passion that you have to get out there and go make images that matter. And so I feel like that brings so much drive and motivation and energy to him when a lot of other people who might not have that, you know, they're sitting in a rocking chair watching TV.
You know,
and he's just
great.
Like, go, 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 go.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that some of us in our later years our brains still feel like we're in our 30s. Mm-hmm. It's just our bones aren't letting mm-hmm. us do what we used to do. So that's terrific. That sounds like an amazing thing that he is achieving with leaving that legacy that he's working on.
Yeah. Okay. Another one that pops up a lot. This is a personality type that I see so often make their way into conservation photography. And that is someone who loves connecting puzzle pieces about the world, loves connecting the dots. They're very curious about nature. And so when they look at something like maybe a bird eating a seed, they're like, oh, what is that seed that they're eating? How did they get it? Are they a seed disperser? Where are they going with that? Do they make you start putting all these pieces together and thinking about like how a species works inside of an ecosystem or how a community is changing or affecting, improving or harming an ecosystem. Like there's all of these different threads in this story or pieces of this puzzle, and you just love seeing them and putting them together, and you love inspiring that type of curiosity in other people too.
Ooh, I love those kinds of things.
Yes, it's so fun. I think that I might be part of that personality type for sure. That makes you a perfect fit for conservation photography, because conservation photography, a lot of what you're doing with that is trying to use photos to illustrate complex interactions or what's happening somewhere. And so oftentimes it's not just about, okay, I'm going to take a couple pictures of these portraits and kind of explain it or whatever. It's like, well, no, I'm going to make some photographs about what's happening and how things are connected and how things are interrelated. And then that can spark that curiosity of other people. And conservation photography, especially when you're looking at photo stories that accomplish that and that really help take a complex issue that you're excited about and engaged in and then illustrate it for other people. That's a lot of what we do in conservation photography. So
I love that idea, because I also remember you talking about a lot of conservation photography stories and images that people have come up with that reflect both sides of why something is the way it is too.
Yes.
So not only just the interconnection between the system that's there, but also why it's there and the complexity about why it's not easy necessarily to change. So for instance, you know, you might have ranchers who are trying to make a living doing one thing, but then there's a species that is impacted by the livestock mm-hmm. or something like that. And I loved hearing the both sides of it, because nothing is simple. And so then, you know, then hearing, for instance, clever ways that then the ranchers have come up with ways to support the environment that the other animals are trying to live in and still have this livestock, not necessarily just decimate everything or something like that. Mm-hmm. It just brings that awareness around those kinds of stories. I love those ones too. I
think that's
so cool.
Absolutely. And I mean, you bring up a great point of how conservation photography is used as well, which is helping other people be seen who often aren't seen. Whether that is someone working inside of conservation, maybe it's like a biologist or an activist or someone, or it's people who tend to be villainized by maybe in conservation stories. For instance, I think ranchers can be a great example. A lot of ranchers might feel like, well, no one understands how hard it is to do the work that we do and what it takes, and that we're, you know, multiple generations into this, and this is who I am as a person, da, 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 da. Well, a conservation photographer has an opportunity to photograph who that rancher is and what it takes to run the ranch and why they feel that this is a problem. And then also, okay, well, what's going on with, you know, the wolves that are there? And let's photograph like the threats that they're facing, and let's photograph the complexity of that interaction. What are the solutions? Who's working on solutions, and how do we photograph that and show how a level of harmony or coexistence can be reached? And then can we use that to show other ranchers like, hey, here's this rancher who's just like you, who's figured out this way to do this and coexist with wolves. Think we could try that? Do you think that, you know, this other rancher next to you installed wildlife-friendly fencing, and that really helps pronghorn in their migration, and that they're actually seeing a financial benefit from it? What do you think? Like, you can actually use conservation photography to say, here's all these different puzzle pieces, so that you can really feel like everybody who's a party to this is seen.
Yeah.
And then that helps other people feel like, oh, I'm not being told something. I'm being yes. brought into a conversation. I see myself reflected in it in some way. I'm open to this. Like, see, this is why I think I'm this personality type that got brought into conservation. Because isn't that incredible that you could take all these puzzle pieces that you're seeing, play out and come together, and then you can photograph it in a way that other people can be like, oh, I get it. I see what's going on. Okay, now I understand.
And wasn't there something about wolves getting introduced Yellowstone or somewhere?
There's another like complex ecosystem story. So especially if you are someone who's really interested in ecosystem level stuff, like that's a great example, Joe. So wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone. And then there's that whole trickle down effect, right? Of, okay, well now there's a predator back in this ecosystem. So the herbivores are impacted. And so then the plants that the herbivores eat are impacted. There's fewer elk, or they are changing their behavior, which means that the plants that they were feasting on now can thrive in different ways, which means it affects erosion, which means it affects, you know, all of these things. You really see that complexity. And so like if you're a nature photographer who loves digging into that kind of stuff, then you can find all kinds of stories playing out that you can photograph about ecosystem level complexity that you photograph. And then that can help explain to other people like, well, here's why this matters, or here's how these play out, or here's why the species is important. You're not just photographing that species, you're photographing all these other ways that that species is important to an ecosystem and all these different aspects. And you're digging into wildlife portraiture and macro and landscape, and you get to play as a photographer while also playing as a conservationist and explaining
species. Okay, let's go do that.
I know. So there's three things so far. We've got, if you're someone who loves creating images, but it just doesn't feel like quite enough to just make them. Like you want them to do something, and you want them to do something important. You want them to make a difference. Then conservation photography might be right for you. If you are someone who's really interested in using the love that you have for photography, nature photography, wildlife photography, photographing your community, and you want to really leave a legacy, like that matters to you. You want to leave a legacy through your photography. You want to make your mark through that. This might be a really great field for you to dig into as a way to do that. If you are someone who loves to connect the dots, loves the puzzle pieces of nature and how they come together in this whole, and you want to be able to use photography to inspire that curiosity and that interest in other people, conservation photography is probably an excellent field for you to dig into and to explore. If you are someone who loves to teach or connect others to the issues that are really important to you, if you're someone who's like, I'm going to go on a nature walk with my friend and we're going to just go into the woods and have fun, but you cannot hold back. And then look at this lichen, and then it does this, and look at that bird, and see, it likes to eat this, and then it migrates over there. And if you can't not bring your friend into that conversation, no matter what look they have on their face, then conservation photography might be a really great field for you, because you get to do that with your photography. You get to create these images.
You basically just like talked about how when we go for hikes, you know, and all the things I get to learn from you.
I am one of those people. I know. Whenever Nick and I go on walks, we have to predetermine, is this a Nick walk or is this a Jamie walk? Because if this is a Nick walk, we're going to actually have a nice pace and we're going to, you know, enjoy the scene, but we're going to continue to move forward. And if it's a Jamie walk, then Nick will bring his Kindle and put it in his back pocket, because there's probably going to be a lot of stopping and staring and waiting. And he's like, I'm going to bring a book because it's going to take us 3 hours to go 4 feet. So,
but see, that's great, because when you have a Jamie, you get to say, well, Jamie, what's this? And what's that doing? And why? Oh, and then you also have the Jamie who says, oh, Joe, don't touch that. Joe, no, that's too close to that animal.
But look, doesn't it look interested? Too interested. We are backing away now. Yeah. But that, I think that that personality type is so valuable to conservation and conservation photography, because that love and that energy that you have for nature and like interesting interactions of things and how stuff works and why it matters in your area or in your community, it's contagious. Like that brings other people into the conversation and gets them all excited and curious. And then they go tell other people. And so I also think if you're this personality type and you are at that level of photography where maybe you're starting to lead tours or lead workshops, conservation photography can be a great fit for you because you can bring that conservation element into the tours and workshops that you do just simply by what you talk about with your guests. So you might be showing them how to use their camera and getting them in situations where they can photograph wildlife, but you're also infusing that love of that place or that species into everything else that you talk about. And then they walk away not only with really cool images or skills, but also all of this excitement and energy to go talk about these issues or these species with other people that they know.
Yeah. I mean, remember how when we were in Alaska and we're walking down the trail and I'm looking at the trees and I'm watching the salmon jumping out of the water and you go, Joe, look at this. And you bring me way, way, way close down to the ground and you're looking at these little tiny mushrooms. And I was like, I would have never even seen that and seen that that was part of the ecosystem there. And understand that that feeds this and does that and grows on this wood and, you know, does this thing. And I was like, ooh. And then, you know, okay, so let's talk about macro photography and these kinds of things. And a whole experience I would have never thought about.
Yeah. Well, and like a really engaged tour guide. I mean, I still remember going to a lake that was near our home, Lopez Lake, and going on a docent-led hike. I must have been like 18 or 19 years old, and I still have vivid memories of that whole hike. It's the first time I learned about what a gall was on a tree, and it was the first time I ever saw a pack rat nest. And, you know, this is in a place where I've lived my whole life, but having a docent there who was explaining things and who clearly enjoyed it, it just opens your eyes to so much. And so for a photographer, I think who loves being that person, who loves being someone who's like, well, let's look at this and let's talk about that. And did you know this? And let's get curious about this other thing. Conservation photography is like, please come be part of this field because that level of excitement and love and joy, that is, I think, what feeds into other people and makes them good stewards or aware or makes them want to explain, like that's how information spreads is because then they take that excitement and then go tell someone else who tells someone else who tells someone else. And so this field, I think, is a perfect way for you to satisfy that love of teaching people stuff that matters and to do that in a fun, creative way with photography.
Cool.
Yeah. So, okay, there's four. So the fifth, and there's way, way, way more of these, but the fifth kind of personality type that I see in the conservation photography field that I think, you know, this field could be a really good fit for you if this is kind of in your personality is if you're someone who really just wants to celebrate the species or the places or the organizations that you think are just so amazing and are valuable and need recognition, then I think conservation photography is right for you because this is a field where we do so much of that. I think a lot of times there's a misperception that conservation photography is about everything going wrong in the world and making sure that everyone knows about what's going wrong and that there's all of these threats out there. We have to find solutions and you guys need to know that this is happening over here and you guys need to know that this is happening over here. And yes, while that's true, conservation photography is also about absolutely celebrating what is, whether that's an endangered species or a common species, if it's a habitat that's under threat or it's one that's thriving. Conservation photography is a field where you can photograph a profile, like you can create a story about a place that is absolutely thriving and talk about why that's able to happen. And then we understand, oh, those are characteristics that we want to bring to this other place over here that might not be doing so well. So you can be very solutions oriented, very celebratory inside this field through your nature photography and make a big impact.
Oh, I like that idea. I would have never thought about it like that in the sense of it's something where you're saying, look at what's working.
Yes.
And look at how that can be repeated. Yeah.
Yeah. I got an email from someone who said, I'm really thinking about taking conservation photography 101. I know that this is a field that I'm really interested in learning about. But I have some questions. And one of the questions was, does conservation photography suck all the fun out of wildlife photography? And I thought to myself, I so appreciate your blunt directness in asking that. And the answer is no, it absolutely doesn't. It's about your approach. Conservation photography is not, we got to look at the doom and gloom. Conservation photography is about bringing understanding, awareness, and action around the issues that matter. And that can look like, we're going to look at solutions. We're going to celebrate them. We're going to take what we know about that and apply it elsewhere. We're going to look at the heroes in the conservation movement and celebrate them. We're going to look at species that have made a comeback and celebrate that. We're going to look at species that are critical to an ecosystem and talk about why that keystone species is so important. It's like there is so much that you can do that focuses on the positive of this. And it doesn't have to be in a Pollyanna way. But it can be in a way that's like, let's just be super stoked on what's going on here. Instill that care, that love, that excitement. And then with that, when you instill that in someone, then they're more likely to behave in a way that is more beneficial to their local environment or the planet in a, as a whole, because they care. They sell it. They're like, that's great. There's this thing out there. This organization that is so cool in my community that I'm going to celebrate that. Well, now I might donate to them or this other organization or, oh, that species that now I have this now undying love for that one species. Well, I'm going to behave in a way that is sure to not harm it. You know,
I totally get that. And I love that idea because that is the thing that makes it exciting from someone who there's enough downer stuff in the world. So the idea that you can take it and put the positive forward. Mm-hmm. And have that be the message. I love that.
Yeah. There's a lot in this field that can be very weighty and heavy and tough, emotionally tough, psychologically tough.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at how is it that we can bring everybody aboard to making sure that this planet has a future, making sure that everything on it has a future. We talk about compassion fatigue. We talk about the emotional toll that it can take on you. And I think that if you are someone who's like, I want to make a difference, but I don't want that to be the only place that my head and heart go when I pick up a camera, please know that it doesn't have to be at all. And you can make a huge impact for conservation and really help out the things that you care about. In a way that's, and I don't mean this in a Pollyanna way, but in a way that's lighthearted and joyful and not unrealistic, not through toxic positivity and you know, rose-colored glasses, but in a way where it's like, no, we're going to focus on solutions and we're going to make that be something that gives people hope and keeps them wanting to move forward on conservation causes.
Cool. I can go for that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. We could go do that too.
Yeah. I hope a lot of people can go for that. Honestly, conservation photography is so big and diverse and it's so basic too. At its heart, conservation photography is simply using your images to bring attention, understanding, and awareness to environmental issues. And you get to pick what those are, how you approach them, how you photograph them. You get to really bring yourself into this field, and it does not have to look like any one thing. For instance, I want to throw one example out there that I think could be really helpful too in really underscoring that conservation photography can look like how you want it to look. You don't have to change your photography or anything. There is this really amazing woman that I'm lucky enough to have met. She joined my conservation photography membership a while back. Her name is Marianne Karen. And she joined because she wanted to figure out how she could bring more attention to this really critical issue that's happening in her area, which is the drying up of the Great Salt Lakes. Well, Marianne's photography is very just beautiful, fine art. Like this is her photos of birds out on the Great Salt Lakes would be in any, like you could picture them being in the hallways of the Ritz-Carlton or in the San Francisco airport. Like they are just beautiful, fine art images. So a lot of times people think, okay, well, if I'm going to make an impact, I have to like show doom and gloom, and I have to like show the issue, and it's got to be, you know, photojournalism, da da. And Marianne's like, no, I am, but this is what I like to photograph. I want to be able to make a difference, but this is how I photograph. What can I do? And so inside the membership, we did these group coaching calls and stuff where we all kind of threw out ideas and brainstormed and really helped her in different ways figure out paths that she could use her imagery to bring attention to this big issue. So she ended up doing a bunch of different things. She made this amazing reel on Instagram that got a lot of traction. She got her images in an article. She started working alongside this nonprofit and so on and so forth without ever needing to change her style or her approach or her love of going out and photographing this area. So here is someone who's this beautiful, fine art nature photographer who is a conservation photographer. Conservation photography can look like anything you want. You get to approach it in any way you want. It's all about simply what you do with your images to bring that attention. That's it. Basic.
Yeah, that sounds pretty basic to me. And it sounds like really, if you have that desire to make that impact, to make that change, you could come at it from 1,000 different ways.
Yep. Sky's the limit.
Okay, I'm ready. You do this to me every time. Every time you get me on these things and we start talking about a topic, and the next thing I want to do is I want to go out and go do it all.
I know.
And I've got too many other things that I'm doing. Okay.
Well, then the next episode, we'll have to talk about time management again. Well, Joe, thank you so much for talking about this with me. We started the episode, I thought you were going to really kind of come back down and be like, yes, but you know, personality types are also like this. So don't forget, you know, people work like this, Jamie. And so we're going to kind of tone it down. But instead, I think that I got you all riled up about.
Yeah, you got me
all the different. So that's because it's just such a fun, exciting field. But I think that there are many personality types that are a great fit for conservation photography beyond what we've covered here. Joe, can you think of any others that off the top of your head that I might have left out that are easy fits?
I think the thing is that it's the idea of exposing the world to thinking about conservation and mm-hmm. thinking about how we as human beings live in this world. And what can you do with your photography to help deliver that message?
Yes. However that might work for you.
Right.
Yeah. It's a pretty exciting field.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, for everyone listening, if you can think of another personality type or trait that is perfectly suited for conservation photography, please don't hesitate to email me or find me on Instagram. I always like to hear about this kind of stuff and be thinking about it in a big picture way. And I always love hearing from you. So if you're listening and you've got ideas, don't be shy. Write in, tell us about it. And meanwhile, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening to the very end of this episode. And I want to give you a reward for the attention and the dedication that you just showed. I have made something extra special for you. It is a 45-second quiz that reveals your unique personality as a visual storyteller. See, as photographers and filmmakers, we all have our own unique creative strengths as well as some weaknesses to be aware of. And this quiz will not only reveal your creative super strengths, but also provide you with a customized action plan to put those strengths into action. You can head to jamieh.com/quiz to find out your unique storyteller personality. That's jamieh.com/quiz. I hope that you have so much fun learning about the unique personality that you bring to your storytelling.